The Department of Homeland Security has issued its first national terrorism bulletin in more than a year, warning of the potential for more violence following the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. Our next guest warned about the threat of right-wing extremism more than a decade ago, and now he says political violence could get worse unless the government does something about the danger. Daryl Johnson is a former intelligence analyst for the Department of Homeland Security, whose 2009 report on a growing domestic terror threat was criticized by Republicans and veterans groups after it was leaked. Johnson is now head of the security consulting firm DT Analytics. He joins us on a Skype line. Daryl, welcome to Here and Now.
Good morning.
So in 2009, we're feeling the effects of the Great Recession. And in that report at the time, you wrote, the consequences of prolonged economic downturn could create a fertile recruiting environment for right-wing extremists and even result in confrontations between such groups and government authorities similar to those in the past. So, Daryl, what were you seeing at that time that prompted you to issue this warning?
So what we were seeing was, number one, the unprecedented election of the first African-American president, which was basically fulfillment of white supremacist nightmares come true. So with the economic downturn, this also created fertile ground for not only white supremacist groups to flourish, but also because of economic downturn, the anti-government groups would also gain fertile ground for recruitment and radicalization.
And is there some overlap there, Daryl, in the sense that maybe people who would be susceptible to that kind of racist ideology would be triggered even further by experiencing some economic hardship and then, you know, feeling the politics of resentment, perhaps?
Yeah, there is some crossover between white supremacists and anti-government groups. Both of these extremist movements fall on the far right of the political spectrum, but they also have some common grievances. A lot of them believe in conspiracy theories, some of which center on Jewish elites or the 1% controlling the economy as well as the government. And so there's this fear and paranoia that surrounds these types of uncertain times, and people tend to blame all kinds of scapegoats for their problems, whether it be immigrants taking over or jobs going overseas. You know, anti-government groups flourish during these times of uncertainty.
And of course, we're in the middle of another economic downturn now in the midst of a global pandemic. And Daryl, one of the things that made your report in 2009 so polarizing was that you pointed specifically to returning veterans as potentially easy target for right-wing extremists. And in fact, we saw some veterans participating in the insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th. So what were you seeing that signaled that veterans were vulnerable to radicalization?
We saw extremists targeting veterans back in the early 90s for recruitment and radicalization. And so we predicted that that same pattern would replicate itself today with our returning veterans coming back from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
And of course, this is a hard thing for a lot of folks to accept because, of course, our veterans are out there protecting our country. But to the extent that some segment of them can be radicalized, there's a particular danger there, right, Daryl? Because these are people with special and potentially dangerous skill sets.
That's correct. In no way was our report meant to slander veterans. We were just merely pointing to the fact that some veterans could be ripe for recruitment and they have a unique skill set that could boost the violent capabilities of white supremacists and anti-government groups.
But there was the backlash that we mentioned, and ultimately the DHS secretary at the time, Janet Napolitano, apologized. I'm curious, from your view, what happened in the ensuing years, and how did law enforcement seemingly lose focus on the threat of domestic right-wing terrorism?
Yeah, it's unfortunate that my report was politicized, and to the point where the Secretary of Homeland Security at the time had to apologize to the veterans groups. And what happened is, with the political backlash, with the retracting of the report by DHS, it created this chilling effect that basically sent the message, if you talk about these controversial topics and you call attention to these far-right extremist groups, there's going to be hell to pay. And you're going to get FOIA requests, you're going to get citizens calling in, complaining, you're going to get your legislators writing in, and people's jobs are going to be in jeopardy.
That must make your job as an intelligence analyst very hard, though, Daryl, because this is an issue we've seen in other contexts be a big one in recent years. I'm thinking about whether it was, you know, domestic terrorism or let's say foreign interference in our elections. The politicization of intelligence is a very fraught issue in our country right now.
It is, and it goes against the intelligence standards, the tactics and tradecraft that we use that basically say we need to be unbiased and objective in our analysis and just let the facts speak for themselves.
So did you imagine that something like what we saw at the Capitol last month would happen? I mean, is that what you were warning us about? And maybe you weren't surprised.
Well, back in 2009, we were primarily concerned about mass shootings, police ambushes, bombings, arson attacks against faith-based communities. I never envisioned in 2009 that we would have an insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. However, given the events of the summer and that we saw two similar events happen in the states of Idaho and Michigan, where their state houses security was breached, it wasn't beyond the realm of possibility. And in fact, I had talked about such a scenario to the media, although it didn't apply to the U.S. Capitol. I was thinking maybe a state capitol would be under siege.
You know, as we were talking about some of the pushback that you received, Daryl, I may as well ask you, since your Republican critics might say, well, listen, you know, left-wing extremism is a thing as well. And I wonder if you see that as an apples-to-apples comparison or whether you see one or the other as clearly the more urgent threat right now.
Yeah, so I think we need to have a balanced approach when we look at the threat landscape, okay? The far left has engaged in property destruction. They've targeted the police, but it hasn't risen to the level of deadly violence that we see from white supremacists and even militia groups plotting to kidnap governors and assassinate political figures. So there is no apples-to-apples comparison. You've got one group that's got a long history of deadly violence against, you know, civilians as well as government officials and government targets. The other is primarily focused on property destruction.
And then what about how you're weighing foreign terror threats versus domestic terror threats? I think that we have typically thought about these terrorism bulletins from the Department of Homeland Security as focused on foreign terror threats. Is that still number one in your view, or is domestic terrorism surpassing that on the threat scale in your view?
I think we've seen over the past 10 years that the domestic homegrown terrorism has far outweighed the threat from, you know, sympathizers with ISIS and al-Qaeda here in the homeland. The thing is, when you look at the whole intelligence community and law enforcement community, there's an overwhelming focus on foreign terrorism and those that sympathize and support with those groups here in the United States. But here within, when we talk about white supremacists and anti-government extremists, there's very few analysts and agents working these issues, and there just needs to be a balance in resources. Let the threat dictate the amount of resources and money that go into these programs.
Well, in that vein then, Daryl, I mean, where do we go from here? We have a new administration, and, you know, what we all pay attention to in the headlines are the changes in cabinet-level secretaries, but there's a lot of career folks working behind the scenes who we never see. So does their focal point need to change in the coming years? Or maybe it's staffing up in some way, but what is your prescription for better addressing domestic terrorism in the years to come?
So Biden has already taken a good step in the right direction by calling on the intelligence community to provide a thorough, exhaustive threat assessment on the domestic terrorist threat. That's the beginning of developing strategies, putting in money and resources into the problem. It's getting an idea, just kind of getting your arms around this problem. I also think we need to pass legislation delineating roles and responsibilities among federal agencies, because there's a lot of bureaucratic infighting, jurisdictional turf battles, things like this. And so Dick Durbin's 2021 Terrorism Prevention Act that's been proposed on the Hill is something that I support and I think we should pass.
And it seemed that interagency communication, or perhaps lack thereof, also played a role in the January 6th riot as well. So something to watch for sure. That's Daryl Johnson. He's a former intelligence analyst for the Department of Homeland Security, now the head of DT Analytics, a security consulting firm. Thanks, Daryl.
Thank you.